ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टकी. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, chapter entitled Akrura's Arrival in Vrindavan. Text 37-38. Shankarshana cha pranatam upaguya mahamana grihitva panina pani anayat sa anuja griham prishtva. Text 37 only. Shankarshanascha pranatam upaguhya mahamana grihitva panina pana anayat sanuja griham. Shankarshanascha pranatam upaguhya mahamana grihitva panina pani anayat sanujo griham. Shankarshanascha pranatam upaguhya mahamana grihitva panina pani anayat sanujo griham. Pani na pani anayasanu no griham. Shankarshanascha pranatam upaguhya mahamana grihitva pani na pani anayasanu jo griham. Shankarshanascha pranatam upaguhya mana mahana grihitva pani na pani anayat sanujo griham. Shankarshanascha pranatam grihitva pani na pani anayat sanujo griham. Matajis. Shankarshanascha pranatam upaguhya mahamanaha upaguhya panina pani anayashanujo griham. Text 37 and 38 are together, so I'll read 38 also. Prishtvathasi agatham tasmai nivedya cha varashanam prakshalya vidivat padau madhuparkar ansanam maharat. Shankarshana, Lord Balaram, cha and Pranatham, who was standing with his head bowed, Upaguhya, embracing, Mahamana, magnanimous, Grihitva, taking hold of, Panina, with his hand, Pani, his two hands, Anayat, he took, Sa Anuja, with his younger brother Lord Krishna, Griham, to his residence, Prishtva, inquiring, Atha, then, Suagatam, about the comfort of his trip, Tasmai, to him, Nivedya, offering, Cha, and Vara, excellent, Asanam, a seat, Prakshalya, washing, Vidhivat, in accordance with scriptural injunctions, Padau, his feet, Madhuparka, honey mixed with milk, Arhanam, as a respectful offering, Aharat, he brought. Translation. As Akrura stood with his head bowed, Lord Shankarshan, Balram, grasped his joined hands, and then Balram took him to his house in the company of Lord Krishna. After inquiring from Akrura whether his trip had been comfortable, Balram offered him a first-class seat, bathed his feet in accordance with the injunctions of scripture, and respectfully served him milk with honey. There's no purport, so we go to text 39. Nevedyagam chatithaye sambhahya shrinantam adrita annam bahugunam madmedhyam shraddayopahat vibhu. Translation. The Almighty Lord Balram presented Akrura with the gift of a cow, massaged his feet to relieve him of fatigue, and then with great respect and faith fed him suitably prepared food of various fine tastes. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Akrura went to Krishna's and Balram's house on the 12th lunar day, on which one should not break a fast at night. However, Akrura dispensed with this formality because he was eager to receive food in the Lord's house. Text 40. Tasmai bhuktavate pritya rama parama dharmavit mukha vaser gandhamale param pritim vyadhat puna. Translation. When Akrura had eaten to his satisfaction, Lord Balram, the supreme knower of religious duties, offered him aromatic herbs for sweetening his mouth, along with fragrances and flower garlands. Thus Akrura once again enjoyed the highest pleasure. No purport, so text 41. Nanda Maharaj asked Akrura, O descendant of Dashara, how are all of you maintaining yourselves while that merciless Kans remains alive? You are just like sheep under the care of a butcher. No purport, text 42. That cruel, self-serving Kans murdered the infants of his own sister in her presence, even as she cried in anguish. So why should we even ask about the well-being of you, his subjects? In the last text in this chapter, text 43. Honored by Nanda Maharaj with these true and pleasing words of inquiry, Akrura forgot the fatigue of his journey. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 38th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Akrura's Arrival in Vrindavan. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadhati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sadguratam Sagana Raghunathanditam Sajayvan Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pradham Sahagana Raita Sri Vishakhan Kansamsa Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanta Naurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishubhano Sute Devi Namami Namipriye Manchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuva Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Mahatnebhyo Namo Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So in this ongoing wonderful description of Akrura's journey to Vrindavan, we know that Akrura is the epitome. I mean, he's the ideal for the power of prayer. And Akrura, there is a tremendous contrast between Akrura and Kans in their motivation. Actually, Kans, in the last few verses, when he proposes to Akrura to come to go to Vrindavan, he has now come to a conclusion that the only way is to kill Krishna and Balaram would be to bring them to Mathura. So he engages in a lot of sweet talk. So if you go from the external point of view, it's very pleasing, it may sound very reasonable, very logical, and he makes Akrura feel comfortable externally, and proposing where he can go and bring him here, offers his chariot, etc. So we cannot judge externally, because from the external point of view, Kans is presenting in a very level tone, very gently and very reasonably, and actually it seems he's very considerate the way he proposes and brings him. But we know his motivations, because his idea was to somehow trap Krishna and Balaram, bring them, and he was confident that he would kill them. And Akrura agreed. Now, externally again, one may feel that Akrura, because he is serving, he is one of the chief assistants of the king, so he cannot deny, he has to accept it, which he does. But internally, over the last several verses, we see the how an ideal approach to Vrindavan, to Krishna, is made. Because Akrura, in his heart, reveals his mind, how he is hankering for the appearance of Krishna and Balaram. At the same time, you know, he has such a deep, not only affection, but such a deep reverence for the Lord. He fully acknowledges them to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is also confident that the Lord, that Krishna in his heart, would understand his motives. And this is very important for us, because we also have, we have also been told repeatedly, that our Krishna consciousness really depends upon our, we should be serious, we should be sincere, and we should not have any ulterior motives. And, you know, we may perhaps take it on very gross levels that, okay, my motive is that I will not sin. My motive is I will not commit adultery, I will not cheat, I will not gamble. Ones which are measurable, which is easy to compartmentalize and say that I have not gone to the bar, I have gone to the temple, so my motive is very clear. Or I have not indulged in this activity, but I am now in the presence of devotees, so I am clear. I get up at this time in the morning and I take my beat bags. So there are many external trappings also, which actually indicate that there is a devotional motive. But what we understand from here is that the faith that Akrura had of Krishna in his heart, such was his deep conviction that the Paramatma, that Krishna in his heart, is the origin of his thoughts. He understands before the thought even appears in his mind, he is confident that Krishna knows, and that Krishna would fully understand. So he's very comfortable in this knowledge. So we really need to examine and re-examine and re-examine actually what our ulterior motives may be, or what our final motives could be. It's very important for us, because there is, when we look at the gross issues, it may be fairly crystal clear and easy to analyze. But for a devotee, the complexities are much more subtle. So, for instance, we come to the temple, we would like to offer services, we would like to chant, we would like to be with devotees. So there may be a mixture of emotions. Maybe initially we've come because we've had a lot of bad experiences externally. We have fear also, we have apprehensions because we are going through a very bad period. And then here, when we see other devotees, we do get inspired, impressed. We see a completely different world actually. And then that's the beginning. But are we slowly doing it to gain recognition? If we are serving devotees or taking up a service, is it that we want it to be recognized, we want people to know that we've done it? And again, it will not be external, you know. But is that a strong desire? Is that something which we would want, that somehow, say, our Guru Maharaj should know that we're doing this? Or is it that we are doing it to, in one way, to do better than the other devotee, to be competitive, because we feel that we've heard that, yes, there's transcendental competition. So we use the word transcendental competition, but if our motive is to feel that we are better than someone else, and therefore we are doing something, a service, and we'd like to be seen as a better pujari, or a better book distributor, a better fund collector, whatever service we are doing. If these are the subtle trappings that we have to analyze and see, that is it at the expense of somebody else? Is it that we are putting someone down negatively, or in some way? Is it that we are in some way very... is it a preponderant feeling? There is a difference between wanting encouragement. Certainly devotees will aspire for service, and especially in our stage, we definitely need appreciation, encouragement to go on. But is that the driving motive, that we are doing it only because we will be noticed? So these are things which we need to examine. Also, we have to be wary of the sweet talk. As we've seen in Kansa's language, and it's so reasonable, so presentable. So we do see this in our outside world also often, that sometimes people seem so reasonable, and in their choice of language, in their eloquence, in their presentation, in their refinement, because they have been trained in that way. So we may not see the training, we may only see the final product, and that gives us great inspiration, and we could get completely carried away. So it is not wrong. It is not wrong to improve on the product, to deliver, but that is not the substance. The substance is critical. So, and it is not just the outside world. It may also be within the devotee world, that we may also, when we want to, when we have a certain motive, and we may be talking sweetly with some, nicely, reasonably with some devotee, but our ultimate goal may be that maybe we want to wean him off this service, or we want to do this. So all these are interlinked, and therefore the concentration what we hear is, what we understand here, is not the reasonable words, the sweet tone, the language and the elocution, or the external motive. We have to examine our motives, not to criticize, but to analyze ourselves. Also, we see that one of the important messages that comes right through here is of the conviction that one is the faith that Akrur had, such deep faith that Krishna will protect his devotees. So this is something which is one lesson that, I mean, one point I'd like to talk about briefly on how a devotee is protected by Krishna at all times. All times is the operative word. That is not that if he is victorious, he is protected. If he faces defeat, he is not protected. He is always protected. And under all circumstances. Krishna says, Kamte prati janahi, na me bhakta pranashyati. So he said, declare it boldly, son of Kunti, that my devotee will never perish. So this this conviction is what Akrur has come to. So if we are not on that, if we mentally at least understand, then gradually with our realization and with the experiences that Krishna gives us around us, he gives us scriptural examples, he gives us repeatedly, he gives us our own surrounding. If you are associating with those people who have greater faith, then we will also develop that faith. If we see these examples around us, then we will also incorporate. So actually every experience that happens to us, you know, every event that happens to us, there is a deeper meaning. Krishna has a plan. When we say Krishna has a plan, it means that that incident or that situation that has happened or something, whether it's painful, pleasurable, whatever, it has got a deeper meaning. And if we have to analyze and try to relate it to what we have understood philosophically. So the philosophy and the realization will come together, and then we become convinced and we are able to absorb it much more deeply. So many devotees have, for instance, had a major setback, for instance. Now, you cannot explain that setback. Say, you know, if a child has, it's very painful, but if a mother has lost her baby. We may all mentally understand, but it is impossible to understand what it is unless you've gone through that. Now, that loss, that pain, that experience is so deep that you cannot put it in words. So there are so many events in our lives, we may try to explain, only we know what it is like, what we've gone through it. But it is not to gain sorrow, but actually it is to learn the lesson that Krishna has put us through it, so that now we have a much better understanding of how life works. Maybe we have a much better understanding how people relate to us. If we have been cheated, then we know that this is the way the world is, we have to be careful. We also see that if that has brought us to Krishna consciousness, that has made us serious, then that is a wonderful lesson and we are so grateful to Krishna. So there will always be lessons, and that's what we have to see. So the event that happens is a devotee's reciprocation to that event, or how he takes the conclusions and how he reacts to it is actually what makes the substance of a devotee and how he will either progress or stagnate. We could also take that event and gain sympathy and keep on feeling that I am the victim, I've been hurt so badly and so on. But on the other hand, if we take this as a stepping stone and something which we know that Krishna is arranging it for my benefit, I don't understand it, but I have that deep faith, then it's something which will really give us a great boost. So the operative word is Krishna always protects his devotees, but the mystery is how he does it. You know, everyone has done conclusions that Krishna protects means he protected Arjun. And there are so many instances we may talk about that. In Jayadrath's case, you know, on the 13th day of the battle, and he was Arjun after Abhimanyu was killed. Arjun took the vow. Now at that time, Krishna and his brothers also said that, why did you do this? You know, you just didn't even consult and you've taken this vow. But the next day, because they were honorable people, so they had to go through. So Arjun went through, and it is said that the more than 2 million people who died on that day, one day, and the kind of war he waged was just incredible. And with Krishna being at the head of leading the chariot, they went through, but still, there was still just a few minutes left, and yet there were many barriers for Krishna to kill Jayadrath, because obviously they all knew, the Kauravas knew, that if Arjun doesn't fulfill it, he is going to go into the fire, and therefore then virtually the war will be over. So practically this whole world war that was happening was hinging on that one moment. It was now coming down to the last few minutes. If Arjun was not successful, and if he went to the fire, and that is it. Practically, the Pandavas would be in grief, and they would be finished. And on the other hand, if he would have finished, then the Kauravas would be in great distress. So there's so much hinging, hardly ever a moment when, the entire fortunes of the world would be hinging just on that, literally on minutes. And it was seemed impossible that Krishna would reach would be able to take the chariot right through for Arjun. So Arjun was completely perplexed and helpless. And then Krishna, we know how he just took out his finger, got the Sudarshan Chakra, and then he threw the Sudarshan Chakra, and that covered the sun. So when it covered the sun like an eclipse, it looked as if the sun has set. And there was complete joy and abandonment in the Kaurava army. They were so happy because they put down their weapons and they were jumping with joy in ecstasy. Because they felt that now everything is won, finished. Now Arjun, they were sure that Arjun will fulfill his vow. And Arjun also was completely bewildered. Suddenly the sun set and he didn't know what was happening. Nobody understood what was happening. So, but Krishna immediately told him that you concentrate on the southern quarter, that is where Jayadrath is. Now, because earlier there were so many arrows in the air, that Arjun couldn't even see Jayadrath. Because that many powerful warriors were engaging in warfare and trying to block Arjun's vision. So now it was clear. So he said, you concentrate on that. And so it is to Arjun's credit that he immediately cleared his mind, and in within less than a second he picked up the bow, put the arrow and was ready. And the next second Krishna withdrew the Sudarshan Chakra. Suddenly it was, the sun was still there. So before that bewilderment could be cleared in everyone's mind what was happening, Arjun did what Krishna told him to. And then of course everybody was so grateful in the Pandava side. So Krishna saved Arjun. But then the previous day Abhimanyu had died. And we know the story of how he was attacked unfairly, just a 16-year-old boy. So can we say that Krishna protected Arjun and Krishna did not protect Abhimanyu? No. Krishna protected Arjun. Krishna also protected Abhimanyu. So Krishna can protect our by taking us back to Godhead. So as he tells Arjun that if you win, when he's convincing him in the beginning, he said you have to fight, because if you win, then you will anyway go back to Godhead. And if you don't win, even then you'll go back to Godhead. In fact, if you win, you will get so many other people to go back to Godhead. So either way, victory is yours. So in Abhimanyu's case, also, he may not have won, he was killed in battle. So, but he was actually as victorious as his father, because Krishna took him back to Godhead. So this is the conviction when we do services, any activity in our life, that it is not measured by external success or failure. Somebody has gained very well financially. Somebody has gained, he has a very bright mind or very sharp intellect, and he's one of the most powerful speakers. Or even in outside world, there may be so many attributes, but we forget that Krishna has given the attributes. We are complete dummies. We wouldn't even know. We don't know where we've come from, we can't even see at the back of our head, and we want to see, understand our whole life. We can't even hear 20 feet away. So there is so, how many limitations we have. But therefore we can see from Krishna's point of view that when he gives the attributes, and if we acknowledge that, So the acknowledgement is in trying to do whatever he has given us. If somebody has been given something more, for whatever reasons, his karma, or he has to do it to his capacity. If someone's given less, he has to do it to his capacity. In Ramayana, we know that Hanuman was trying to, was initially ridiculing that squirrel, and then Lord Ram actually chastises Hanuman, because he said that both are doing to their full capacity. You have a capacity to lift boulders like toys, and if you go to Hampi, you will see those boulders which are now shrunk in size, and there were many, many times more. But you see those massive boulders, and that was the playthings. Those were the toys with which Hanumanji was playing. So he was that powerful, and then here the squirrel had his limitations. But if you're putting 100% effort, then you know that you are in in safe, means you are pleasing Krishna. So Krishna directly has spoken also. So Krishna has given not just hints, but he speaks words. He has also given examples, and he continues to give examples of how he protects devotees, how he protects everyone who turn to him. All we need to do is to acknowledge his presence in our life and to try to lead our life in such a way that we are never away from him. Whatever we do, we have to somehow be reminded. Success or failure, whether it is our occupation, whether it's our family life, whether it's our social life, whatever aspects we are performing, it shouldn't be beyond the boundaries of Krishna consciousness. This is the paramount important, because the risk is we could be completely swept away. And if we, that is why the power of association has been stressed repeatedly, because we get so influenced by association. We, as children also, we know that if we let children just associate, whoever they are associating with, then they slowly, they speak the same language, or they may start behaving the same way. We are impressionable. Even at an older age, we may be impressed in a different way. In our own, we start changing also. So many people now, I've seen in my own life also, and I analyze and I'm surprised, after coming, now when I realize, every few weeks, suddenly some event happens and I realize that, my God, my thinking was this and now it is actually this. Because we have been conditioned, and then you start, now we were in the British times and we were in the Western education, convent school. So in that way, you look at things in a certain way. So there's nothing wrong with that education, but in the perception, if we get brainwashed into many aspects, then we are looking only in a certain way until some jolt happens, or you realize, or you hear somebody, or you analyze and say that actually this is happening because I'm thinking like this. My whole approach or my conditioning has been making me think, and my analysis has now changed. So we need to constantly analyze and see what has made us, so we can be so influenced, we can be completely diverted. So association is critical for us to keep us on this path, wherein we can get the understanding that Krishna is protecting us at all times. But as I said, that how he does it is a mystery. We have to understand the science of mercy. But even after understanding the science of mercy, we will not be able to understand. So basically it comes down to faith. That finally we have to have reason, faith, to know that through shastras, through examples, through gurus, through acharyas, so many people are saying, everyone saying the same thing, and with such wisdom, and we actually see events happening accordingly, we see people's lives changing, so we know that this is the truth. And when that is the truth, then we just have to take it. So Krishna has his own reasons for keeping it a little mysterious, and he's entitled to it. I mean, that is ultimately, it is his leela. And even in his leelas, he gives the impression so many times of his devotees getting defeated. For instance, when Agasur came at that time, they describe how massive he was. The head was above the mountains. And when he opened his mouth, everybody, the gopas and all, went into his belly. And it was a horrific situation for them. They practically lost their lives just being in that. And their consciousness, they were so scared. So they were actually put in that condition. So Krishna, he will take to the brink. But, if he wants to see how, if he increases your dependence on him, then actually we should be even more grateful to him. And this is where that is where his reciprocation with the gopas and gopis was, and they're considered the highest levels, because the surrender was complete and total. When the, in the story of Kalia also, when the poisoned water was there and the devotees, those people who were present there, they drank and they lost their lives. So externally it may seem that they all died. So he really takes it to the brink. But then that is his sport. Krishna doesn't, it's just like in a match. If there's one very powerful team and the other team is so weak that they get pulverized, if it's supposed to be a 10-hour game and it's over in the first half an hour, there's no fun. Spectators also have no fun. So, but if it goes to the last minute and not knowing what will happen, that increases the excitement. So Krishna likes to do it many times. And he does it constantly, you know. If you see most of his leelas, you know, like Chanur and Mushtik also, you know, initially he gave so much fear into the hearts of the all the people, because everybody is wishing. But then in that, their hearts went to Krishna and they were, you know, practically egging him on, they're pushing him on. There's so much their love for him increased. They wanted more than anything else that you know, Krishna should survive in their minds. So these emotions and thoughts are something which strengthens the person's faith without his knowing it, and that is Krishna's leela. Even in Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha's time, you know, he stretched it to such an extent. Like when in Hiranyakashipu's case, actually Lord Narasingdev came, appeared from the pillar at noontime, but he killed Hiranyakashipu after 6 to 7 hours at dusk. So that fight, what we see, we've seen many dramas. That drama is over in 5 minutes. So we think, you know, it's over. But you can imagine, one-to-one, it was not, one-to-one went on for 6 to 7 hours. You know, and only Prahlad was watching, and I mean, the demigods and everyone watching, you can, hearts were in their mouth, they didn't know what was happening. So, you know, Krishna, Narasingdev allowed it to happen, just dwell. And then when the moment comes, you know, he'll finish it. So that moment comes, we say, that is up to him. The problem is that we want to decide for him what his moment should be, you know, for us. That is the only difficulty. But his moment will be his moment. And it may be that we may have lost our lives also here. We may have, you know, it may come to the end like Abhimanyu's case and many others. But if we, there is no loss, you know, following this path, externally what happens is because he has anyway created the situation. So this is it is the same with his devotees, not just with the demons, but his devotees also. He has this kind of reciprocation, this feeling where he may take it to an intense level because he's in the heart of the devotee, you know, as he's always protecting them. So there's a nice example given of how when the sun sets. A simple example, Prabhupada quotes that, we think that the sun is defeated by the ocean because it has set. But it is foolish now, because a child may think like that initially, that the sun is gone, and now we understand through education that, oh no, the sun sets and then rises. But if you analyze it, that it may look that the sun is kind of lost or defeated by the ocean, but then it rises more brilliantly than ever in the morning. So the sun is never away. It's only that our perception is that it is not in front of us. So just like when the cloud is covering the sun, we think the cloud is covering the sun. That is our perception. But actually, the cloud is covering our eyes, not the sun. But we are so confident that we can't see the sun, so the sun is the problem. No, actually, our problem is our eyes. Because the cloud is affecting us, not the sun. The sun is as brilliant as ever. So, so in the same way, Krishna is also protecting his devotees, that it may seem that, you know, the devotee is defeated, it may seem the devotee is lost. But if you have turned towards Krishna, there is never a defeat, there is never a loss. Never. Under any circumstances, so we cannot judge by an external situation that, because, for instance, Srila Prabhupada, in 12 years, he went from, practically, you know, he had to beg for his ticket in Mumbai. If you take Srila Prabhupada's life, how many failures he had? So-called failures. You know, Jhansi, he lost everything. Then he went in Vrindavan also, he was publishing the BTG, he went to Delhi, you know, struggling, it was distributing few copies. So externally it may seem, it took so many years, 10, 15, 20 years, he came to Mumbai, he had to beg for his ticket, literally, and then he had to practically sit on the doorstep, and it was almost like a civil disobedience movement, single-handedly, till the ticket came. So it looked like a failure, his mission was not. Then he went on Jaladut, he got heart attacks, it was as if somebody would say, Krishna doesn't want me to succeed. But he just wanted to please his spiritual master and fulfill that, irrespective of what happened. But then, eventually, we see how... Now, then he went to the Bowery in New York. And first he was in Pennsylvania, then he came to... he didn't meet success, so he came to New York. For 1 year, practically, he was struggling. He was having those Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes. And he was staying in a place in the Bowery, is still considered, but that time it was much worse. It is the most abominable place. I mean, only bums and drunkards and drug addicts are all around the place. Even when I saw it about 21, 22 years ago, it was in bad condition. But devotees say that what it was 50 years ago was indescribable. You know, so smelly, and nobody will go there. And he was staying there just because he had so much compassion for the people. So there also, then his typewriter got stolen. He was practically killed. So many, he was threatened. So all these he went through. But can we say that he was a failure? Now, eventually, in 12 years' time, he established 108 temples and he had thousands and thousands of devotees. But then, say, God Kishwardas Babaji Maharaj, who was his guru's guru, externally, he had only one disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So we say, was he a failure? So our conditioning is such that we go by results, by judgment. But actually, each one has a role to play and we are all instruments of Krishna. The success or failure is in how we see ourselves and to what degree we put ourselves in Krishna's hands. To the extent that we put ourselves partly when it's convenient to us, or when we need to, or when we need something from Krishna, is that it? Or are we wanting to put ourselves completely under all circumstances? So in that sense, God Kishwardas Babaji Maharaj or all the acharyas are all on the perfect level, all pure devotees. However, Prabhupada was chosen to, as per the scriptures, as Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, and even the Lord Nityananda predicted, that this, the world will go all over. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this will go to every town and village, the holy name. So, Prabhupada was chosen to take this. So, it was like he's carrying the flag on behalf of the team. Just like when there's a march past, somebody is carrying the flag. It has to be, somebody has to take it, but it's the whole team that is going through. So same way, when we look at our situation, we should not be saying that, oh, he's successful because of this and I'm not successful. If whether we are or not is entirely on one level, that to what extent do we accept Krishna's supremacy, to what extent do we have that faith no matter what. Today I'm happy, so I believe in him. I feel strongly. Tomorrow I've got something, a problem, so my faith goes down few levels. Is that it? You know, and if we feel that yes, that is the case, are we doing something about it? Means, you know, can we increase our faith? Can we bring, we know what we need to do also. We need to constantly be in the association, examine ourselves, and see where we are going wrong. So it is a wise man had said that the failure after failure after failure, but if actually is a sign of success if the person is doesn't lose his enthusiasm. That is how he defined Prabhupada, that he may have had so many failures, but then he never lost his enthusiasm. So in our case also, if we continue on the same level, that we push ourselves no matter what the external situation is, we will continue to succeed. So actually, failure is a stepping stone for success. It's not the end. Similarly, defeat is a stepping stone to victory. So, not that our external situation may change. It may change, it may not change. External situation has nothing to do with it. The stepping stone to victory is, if we take this, if we keep our enthusiasm on the same level, if we increase it, if we are grateful towards Krishna for giving us the opportunity to serve him, and if we increase that, then that increases, that is the definition of how we can be successful. And that's the way the world is, that many times we even see those who, even on a non-devotional level, that many times people who have put a lot of effort in their occupation, that they turn the defeat into victory, or the failure into success. And that's the way Krishna also does with his devotees, that we may be given various different scenarios, and he wants to test us how we respond to that. So whatever the situation, whatever crisis or tragedy, even if they're overwhelmingly upon us, if we don't lose our faith, that is really where that is a question of test. And also an important point for us is that when the situation of faith comes in, are we thinking that I am See, now I have faith in Krishna, so he's going to reverse the situation. This is a trick also, because sometimes we're going through miserable times, really miserable times, and we intensify our efforts, but at the back of our mind, we may be feeling that I'm chanting four more rounds now, I'm coming regular temple, I'm reading, and you feel nice about it, you actually like the spiritual atmosphere, but at the back of our mind, the thought is that, so now Krishna will reverse the situation. He'll change it because my faith is there. That is not the way it should be. That irrespective of what he does, because he is in control of, he's in control of us, and he's in control, he's our best, he's our well-wisher. So how he delivers success to us is up to him. It may be apparent failure which is actually success. So we have to be concerned with success from Krishna's eyes, not success from the world's eyes. So there are many examples of Prabhupada's disciples also in this situation, that how they showed their faith. You know, when in the early days in Prabhupada was just, these were young 19, 20, 21 year old boys and girls. And Prabhupada, in 67, he sent some devotees to Montreal, open a temple. Now, Montreal is in Canada. These devotees had never even gone outside their city, in most of them. What to speak of outside the country. Somebody was sent to New Mexico, which is way down south in the US. Somebody was sent, then later, in a couple of years, there was two, three couples were sent to London, three couples. So they were sent all over. We take it, we see it in one way, that how one point is that how they had the courage and the faith, strong faith, that because Prabhupada was there and they wanted to please Swamiji, so they took it up. But we also sometimes miss the point that these are the temples which came up. Actually, there were many more efforts and initiatives which did not succeed. So many cities devotees went, and then it may not have succeeded. The temple had to close down after a year or two when they came back. So efforts were made in probably hundreds of cities. Many succeeded, many didn't. But that success, again, is not external. Just because the temple closed doesn't mean that that was a failure and say San Francisco succeeded. That's the point. It is not from that situation. From Prabhupada's point of view, from Krishna's point of view, it was a total success because they made every effort. Situation may have been such that in one place the environment was conducive enough for a temple to establish. And Krishna had his own reasons. In some place it may not have been so. So we are not concerned with that. We are concerned with putting our 100% effort. And if you take a Radha Gopinath temple also, it is a classic example of how the faith of... Because His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and a couple of the devotees, because when in this temple also there were so many impediments in the beginning, in the 86, 87, 88 period, there were so many bad elements here. Even among so-called devotees, it took a long time to establish it. But just took a couple of sincere devotees with complete faith, total faith in the words of the spiritual master and Radhanath Maharaj's faith in Prabhupada, that he persevered, and eventually Radha Gopinath's temple was established, and then slowly the congregation come against. So it looked like a defeat. It looked like there was no hope. For several years we had so many challenges from all quarters, from the tenants and from the municipality, from various people, politicians. And after six, seven, 8 years, it just vanished. So we may say, where did it go? How did it go? Because they were all different people. But you could see that Krishna, when he chose to, he really wanted to take devotees right through the brink, where it looked virtually that we'll be in a hopeless situation. So we have to understand that we cannot protect ourselves. We have to accept Krishna's protection. And isn't it an irony that today we find that the most powerful people in the world, the politicians or the richest people in the world, they have the maximum security. So, in fact, ironically, because the ones who if you have maximum security, it denotes a certain apprehension, certain fear that I may be killed, I may be kidnapped. There are several billionaires, especially in places like Mexico and Brazil, where there are Colombia, where there are lots of internal unrest, where the rich people the richest people could get kidnapped. So, you know, even the children, when they go to school, they have to go under heavy bodyguards and so on. So, one can understand, on one level, we can see that there's a tremendous success, but you can see how much there would be an apprehension or worry. So, compared to that, if you take the Brijvasis, the Gopas and the Gopis, when they had a problem, they immediately turned to Krishna. So, Prabhupada said that they were the greatest scientists because they understood the conclusions very well. Like in the case of when Trinavarta came, the hurricane was so massive and so, he came as a whirlwind, and it was, they couldn't even see what was happening. He was so powerful. But they just turned to Krishna, and Krishna climbed on his back, and then he squeezed them, and he died. But when the same hurricane and tornadoes come to different countries, say in the US has been hit by it, and many other countries have been hit, even now, every year we hear at least 2-3 major hurricanes and tornadoes and cyclones coming. With the best of technologies, what is the final conclusion they tell? They just tell the people, please get out, move. So we can see it's total helplessness. They just say, vacate, evacuate, move. So we have to admit that there will always be situations where so you can't depend only on technology or astrology or this or that. These may be all tools which can assist and help. But the central point is, it should not deter our faith in Krishna. Also the point of reciprocation. When we talk about the faith, that when we, the more the faith we have, we are able to see how Krishna reciprocates constantly with us at any stage, even in the stage of dying or in the stage of when we are in our in progressing in our day-to-day life. And actually, that desire to reciprocate, it is a very basic, fundamental desire which comes for everyone. Like we have it's a natural feeling. Everybody would like to reciprocate. You know, in the Indian custom, the custom in India, in most houses, when somebody, if you have just, sent some gajar ka halwa to your neighbor or to a friend, after 1 or 2 days, that small box will come back. It will be filled with something. It's just a tradition. It's just practically, it's unspoken, but everybody does it. So, they just feel grateful and they reciprocate. You won't find this elsewhere. It's very rare to find, but in India it is very predominant and prevalent everywhere. It's just a natural feeling. And there's a very nice story in that connection about this reciprocation, how there was one 10-year-old boy in the US. And the point is, that how even these relatively mundane stories in our lives, and we get inspired. So we can imagine how much the effect of Krishna would be when he, with all his powers, wants to reciprocate. So this 10-year-old boy, he was a poor boy, and he wanted to, he was making his ends meet by just selling newspapers and small articles door to door. And this was in the 60s and 70s. And one day he had a bad day. He hardly sold anything. And he was really living hand to mouth. So what he sold, he would get, and that would fulfill his needs. And he was extremely hungry. So he said that the next door I knock on, I will ask them for some food. He knocked on that door, and one young lady opened the door. So this boy was a little bit, embarrassed or shy. So he couldn't get himself to ask for food. Then he just asked for a glass of water. He blurted out that, can I have a glass of water? So, but somehow that lady felt that, he looked extremely hungry. So she said that, I think you seem to be very hungry. So she brought a tall glass of milk and gave it to him. So he drank the milk, and he said that, how much do I need to pay? So she said, no, my mother always taught me that you should never accept payment for any kindness. So there's no payment. So the boy said, then I shall thank you. And he went. And many, many years later, maybe 20, 30 years later, and this lady, when she grew older, and then she had a rare disease. So she was referred to a doctor in the major city nearby. So she went to that city and she was in the hospital. And now this young boy had become a doctor. His name was Dr. Howard Kelly. And when he came to know, I mean, he saw the name of the one patient who came from that village where he was. So he was curious because he said, somebody's come from my village. So he went and saw. And then when he saw, even though it was 20, 30 years later, he recognized that lady. So that made him so motivated to work on trying to find out the cure for his for her cure. And he took almost a year, 10 months or so, to try to, and he put most of his efforts on that, just to see that she could get a cure for her disease. And finally, he was able to cure her problem. So she had stayed such a long time that she, when the time came for discharge, she felt that now she is going to be, she was very fearful that now I will have to pay the rest of my life and probably my children will have to keep paying just to settle the bill. So before that, Dr. Howard Kelly told the accounts department that send the bill to me before you send it to the patient. So when the bill went to this lady, and she hesitatingly and fearfully opened that, and she saw at the corner something written. You know, it was said that paid in full with a glass of milk. So she was very much touched, and she understood that this was the boy who had. So this is a kind of reciprocation that we also have in a natural way, which comes spontaneously to us. So we have to see how, if we feel not only we can appreciate somebody's gesture, but and it warms our hearts, we would also like to do, then what to speak of when in the most challenging, difficult and impossible odds, if we have that faith that Krishna is reciprocating with us all the time. He is actually more keen than we are that we turn towards Him and that He will protect us. All we need to do is to have that faith. Therefore, all we need to do in our life is to lead our life in such a way that life is enhanced, that faith is enhanced. That's all. All activities should be dovetailed in such a way that, first of all, we have to avoid anything that can shake our faith, but we should, whatever we do. So it's a very broad definition. It doesn't mean that I must come and stay in 7K Mushima. It doesn't say that I have to go and stay here, or I have to do this, or I have to do that. No. It says, do all your activities where you have Krishna in the center, and then He increases your faith. Your faith increases in Krishna. So in that context, it is for us to examine and see. So you have a lot of flexibility, but we have to take guidance constantly. And of course, there is a process. It's not that we can be whimsical. It is extremely structured also. It is simultaneously structured, and simultaneously there is there are so many services that can be done. Whatever we do is a devotion service if we have this motivation. There's another short story in the same line, which was appealing to me. So there was again in the, this is also in the 60s, that many of you may not be aware that in the up to the 60s and 70s there was a tremendous amount of racial discrimination in the US. It was much more obvious than it is now. Today it may be under the surface. There it was obvious. I mean, especially in the southern states like Louisiana, Alabama, etc. It was very, the blacks could, or the black-bodied, you know, what they were called, African Americans, they could eat only in certain places. They couldn't, they could go on separate buses. It was completely segregated. There was physical segregation openly in schools and so on, in buses and so on. So it was in many states in the U.S. didn't accept that. I mean, they were very liberal, the northern states. So there was actually, that's where Martin Luther King's movement started. And then, of course, many things have changed now. So this is in the 60s in Alabama, a state which was one of the most heavily that the governor himself was very openly, blatantly racist. He made no bones about it. He considered them inferior. So, one day, in the night, about 11 o'clock, it was raining very heavily, and this elderly lady, a black-bodied lady, she was, her car had broken down, and she was on the highway. And this young white man was going there, and it was unheard of that, but he felt a need, so he stopped the car, and he took her in the car, and he helped her to, wherever she had to go. She seemed to be in a hurry. So she went there, and she didn't have time enough, but she took down his number and address. And the next day, there was a huge box of gift which came to his doorstep, suddenly, completely unexpectedly. And then she had written inside that, last night, I'm so grateful to you that because, you would give me this lift, that I could go to my dying husband's place. I could make it in time. And just before he left this world. And it was signed Mrs. Nat King Cole. I don't think most of you are aware, but at least I come from that time when Nat King Cole was almost as famous as the Beatles. Very, very famous musician, singer. He was also black-bodied. One of the most popular singers in the world at that time. So this was his wife. He didn't know this young white man. But this is also an issue about reciprocation, that a small act of kindness. So these are the small acts of kindness which can come naturally to us, may not come to us, but it is very good if it comes. But from that we need to develop and see that if we do it here, because it may warm our hearts is one thing, but if we do it through our intelligence and understanding that Krishna is in control, Krishna is I have to associate everything that I do for Him. So how much more grateful I need to be to Him, because how much He is doing, everything that we have, we owe Him. Today the reason we are sitting in this temple is because of Him. We have no idea how we came to this Rajvidya. We have no idea why we have been given this choice of being a devotee, why we have been given this opportunity to be in Radha Gopinath temple. So everything that has happened to us in our life is only because of Him. So if we can dwell on that, then we understand how much more we have to be grateful. Also, it is not just in the life, but as I said that, even in the process of dying, means, he's in control and he's also protecting us right through. His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu some time ago gave a very nice story which actually happened maybe last year, that in Russia there was this devotee who was, I think it was Russia, this devotee was terminal disease, and he was leaving his life practically now, moments were left. And do you know the two words that he spoke last? The two words that he spoke last before he left is the very last two words before his breath left him. It was not Hare Krishna. But he said, it works. This devotee, he was suffering for a long time, and just before he left his world, he wanted to convey this to everyone. Imagine now, he's facing death. Only he knows what must be the situation. We will soon know later, but he knew at that time. And he could, and yet he was so keen to give this message. The last two words he just said, it works. What he meant is, this process works. Krishna consciousness works. ISKCON works. Srila Prabhupada, what he's given us, it works. That means this is not something fake. It is true. Coming from a dying man who doesn't need to impress anyone or give anything, it has to be taken in the greatest of faith. So, and this was only, I think, about a year or a year and a half ago. That, and we also see, so these are Krishna's way of giving us many examples like this. Recently, in the last couple of months, we've had the departure of two very exalted Vaishnavas among our community. And both the Matajis were very beloved to the congregation, and they were there for 20, 25, 30 years. But again, we see that, why is it that, and all of us have actually gone through, if you take in the last 20, 30 years, we have examples or experiences of many departures. maybe our relatives, maybe our friends, companions. We've gone through funerals, we've been at the bedside, so many people. But do you find, how many have we found when the departure is predetermined like this, and instead of suffering, there is certain suffering physically, but instead of suffering, there is a tremendous amount of wisdom. There is an awesome level of Krishna consciousness that a person demonstrates just a moment before they die. And then how Krishna reciprocates by sending the Guru Maharaj to them, or sending other exalted Vaishnavas to them, to not only take care of the last moments, but also in many ways. Maybe that perhaps to, when some of the great Vaishnavas have come to help in the funeral arrangements and so on. So, we can see the contrast. These are examples Krishna gives us to tell us over and over again that you have nothing to lose, nothing to fear if we can follow this process. Even in the scriptures, Ajamil's case is another one where he was moments away, he was about to depart, and the Yamdutas came. That because he was in a very, very helpless way calling out the name of his beloved son, the youngest son, Narayan, so he was given the chance of it was a new lease of life he got. I mean, it was not that the Vishnu Dutas came and they stopped the Yam Dutas, but then Ajamil took the chance, and then the next 12 years he stayed in Haridwar and completely rectified the situation and transformed himself completely. But this is where Krishna reciprocates in so many ways. So we need not worry about how he reciprocates. We can't let our life go thinking, speculating that will he do this, will he do that. No, we have to concentrate on the process, and we have to have that, build that faith that he will take us to that level. Whatever way he does it, he will give us that protection. And we have many, many tools around us, many people who are around us. And the best part is that if we are an association of devotees, devotees will not let us go. That is the thing. That is the most comforting level, most protective, that they are representative of Krishna, because they are so protective that in any circumstances, difficulties, they are always going to be with us. So, this the matter of faith, it is compared to a tree, because a tree, you keep watering it, you sow the seeds and then you water it. It takes hundreds of years. Maybe 1,000 years, some trees take to really grow. But then nowadays, with chainsaws, you can hack it within seconds. First, it would take minutes to cut with the axe. Now, with the chainsaws, modern chainsaws, they just remove it in seconds. So, something which has grown for 1,000 years can be removed in a matter of seconds. So, similarly, our faith is like that, because our faith takes a lot of time to grow in most cases. And there is initial faith, but to that faith, that initial shraddha to become nishtha takes a lot of time. It has to become so unshakable, as we have seen in many, many cases. It has to be so unshakable. To reach that level, we have to protect it. So we have to also take every measure to see that no chainsaw-like activities or experiences come which can threaten our faith. So if we... at least the progress of our life has to be in that direction. The faster it is, the better, but at least the direction has to be very clear. If the direction is like once here and once here, twice here and twice here, then and we think that we only look at this and we said this will go on its own, it will not happen. We have to be concerned about trying to see how we can keep the direction flowing. And if we have conditionings and anchors which are pulling us down, we have to acknowledge it first of all. We can't disregard it. And if we will get that, effort, the motivation and the help, if we choose to seek it. If we follow the process, if we are associating devotees, if we are regularly chanting, then all of this will gradually take us on the right path. There's no greater example of this unshakable faith than Draupadi's case. We don't need to go beyond this really. When we hear this story, but we don't often dwell on the impact of how much faith she had. So, on two instances. One is, of course, when the gambling match took place and she was forcibly dragged into the assembly, and in the front of all these huge, powerful, not only physically, but they were some of the most greatest leaders of the universe. And Bhishma and her husbands and Drona and so many were there. And none of them could say anything into the sheer agony that she was going through. Just because the husbands were tricked into it and Yudhishthir Maharaj could not contain his spirit to reciprocate in gambling and then he lost. So this was a classic case where Draupadi had every right to be fully, to have faith in so many people, because she was the beloved not only of her husbands, and they had tremendous respect for her, but also she was the favorite of Bhishma Pitama, of Dronacharya, of Kripacharya, of Vidur. All these great elders had tremendous respect for her and they were well wishers. Yet when the moment came of this dastardly act, where she was completely she was dragged there, and then when Karna was the one who got up and said to that, what is the harm in because you know she's so immoral, she's so unchaste, she has got five husbands, so what is the harm if she comes, even such people, such women should be brought even naked into the assembly. So he told Dushasan that why should she even, she had only one pair of strip of cloth, one cloth on her, because she was going through a certain period of time. And he said, take it off. So when Dushasan started pulling with his efforts, it is described that, you know, she looked at every person in this assembly from one to the other, pleading, not in look, but she was piteously crying and asking for their help, and appealing to their judgment, to their wisdom, to their morality, because she came from such an exalted level of chastity and high thinking and purity. And here she is finding that nobody is responding. She asked all of them individually why can't they intervene. Nobody could say a word. She asked the husbands and everybody was looking down in shame, or they were partly confused, some of the elders, as to what they should react, whether... So, anyway, nobody could do anything. And finally, when she immediately understood that... So it is described that actually when she was looking, it was like a frightened deer who was attacked by a lion. That was the kind of fear she had. You know, how her... what she valued most would be lost. And then that's the time when she just appealed to Krishna, and she just gave up her own efforts and appealed, hey Krishna, hey Govinda, hey Lord of the universe, Lord of the gopis, creator of this world, you know, I am completely helpless, please save me. When she said this, within less than a second, Krishna was in Dwarka with Rukmini. He came there, and he supplied all the sari that Dushasan couldn't unravel. So this was the kind of he had the special protection for her, because he knew that she was a pure devotee. And the same way also during this when they were in the jungles in the forest, and Duryodhan with his trickery had sent Durvas Muni to humiliate them and also get Durvas Muni to curse the Pandavas, because he knew the Pandavas would not be able to satisfy Durvas Muni and his 10,000 disciples, because they were in the forest. And that is, Draupadi was given by the sun god this Akshay Patra, where they could give unlimitedly any amount of food to anyone. But once she ate it, then the food, till the next day, they would not be able to give anything. So, Duryodhan actually, externally we were talking about how the motivation of Kans was. Now here, when Durvas Muni came to his palace, he was innocently visiting. So, Duryodhan pleased him so much. He gave him such wonderful service. So externally we'll say that, see, this is the most high level of service. He went out of his way, and everyone knew that it was not easy to please Durvas Muni, but he went out of his way and he pleased him. So Durvas Muni was very easily pleased. So he said that, ask for a boon. So he very innocently, Duryodhan said that, Yudhishthira Maharaj has a great personality, and he should also not be deprived of your benefit. You know, they should also get a chance to serve. But my only request is that please go after they have eaten after Draupadi has also eaten the food, and go with all your disciples, all your 10,000 disciples, because then they'll have greater chance to serve, you know, so many devotees coming. And so when he went there, there was nothing to offer. When Duras Muni came and asked Yudhishthira Maharaj that, I am now here, and so we are very hungry, we've come from long distance. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was alarmed, you know, that what is he going to do? And he, then Duras Muni said, I will just have a bath and come. At that time, he turned to her, to Draupadi, and said, have you eaten? He knew, but he said, have you eaten? She said, I have eaten now, there is nothing we can do. But this is how, see how Krishna gives knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness. So Krishna immediately gave her the thought. The next second she immediately thought of Krishna. She just turned to him, that's it. That we are in great distress. And she remembered the same way, that as you helped me in the assembly hall, we are in the same predicament. Now if Durvas Muni curses us, you know, we will have a, what are we going to do? So immediately Krishna appeared and just smiled, and he said that, first you feed me, then I'll tell you. So she said, I'm so ashamed, I don't have anything to feed you. He said, no, you see. So then she got that vessel, and then there was a small, very small speck of food, so he just took it. When it he took, you know, all the Duras Muni and all the disciples, they were several hundred meters away in the having a bath. And suddenly all of them, you know, started belching and feeling the stomach was full. So it is nicely described how Duras Muni, he felt so embarrassed because he looked around and he saw everybody is in the same situation, feeling the too heavy. And then Duras Muni took a very humble position and he told everyone that, we are in a major predicament because we have put Yudhishthira Maharaj in such a great anxiety. We have asked him to prepare for 10,000 people. And I don't know what we were going to do, because I know Yudhishthira Maharaj, he's a very powerful person. He's very close to Lord Hari and he's a very pure devotee. So if he turns his angry eyes at me, I don't know what will happen. So let us not even see him. Let us just go away. So Krishna just arranged everything in such a way, and that they went and the situation was salvaged. So, you know, we may, in our own ways, many times, if you actually think, many times we may have seen a situation turn favorably. It is not that it happens automatically. Nothing happens automatically. So Krishna has done something to do it. It may be that the situation has turned unfavorable, so-called unfavorable. Again, it is not automatic. There must be a reason. So it is maybe that we are not putting in our efforts. Maybe in spite of efforts, we are not destined to have it. But then we have to see what else happens. And oftentimes you look back, sometimes you can figure it out yourself, sometimes you may not, but you take it on faith that we just do use our mind, intelligence, everything, whatever we are doing, do the best of our ability, but not to lose heart. That is the most important thing, that we have to keep the enthusiasm going. And if you look back over our lives, even just analyze and see, so many events have happened. So many times we felt that this is now the end. I mean, I just can't. It is an unbearable situation. But now that matter is over and gone. Now you are still here. That unbearable became bearable, and now it's forgotten also practically. So time is the best healer. So this is where Krishna gives the wisdom. If we choose to be with those who have faith, then we can nurture our faith also. So we have to find that kind of, it's like birds of a feather flock together. So if we choose to have faith, then we must associate with those who have faith, those who have that desire to please, and also the confidence, conviction that Krishna will reciprocate. So basically, if you look at Akrur's way of entering the forest, you know, he was just like a beggar. You know, he was, but the highest consciousness when he's approaching the Lord. And that consciousness can come by grace. It doesn't just come by itself. It is not just that you do something and it happens the next moment. It is, if Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna are pleased with her activities, then if you appeal to their mercy, because we are pleasing their chosen devotees here, then as and when they feel, they will, with their grace only, will be able to make progress in spiritual life. So when they think of Queen Kunti's prayers, such beautiful eternal prayers, it is not that Queen Kunti just suddenly started, burst out into poetry. It was a culmination of an entire life that she spent of total conviction on Krishna. And nobody in the history perhaps, or very few in the history of the entire universe, could have gone through the kind of miseries that she went through. And in that she kept her faith. So with the result that when Krishna gave her the words to give the most immortal eternal prayers, which are the real backbone for devotees to, and the most encouraging things for devotees to live on, how to face calamities, how to look at Krishna, how to look at life. This is an example of how, if we have the faith, then Krishna will reward us. And at the end of the day, we can have the same kind of pleasures that she had. And likewise with Bhishma Pitama also, that we glorify him that at the end, when he was lying on his deathbed, he was given the chance to leave when he wants to. All the great sages around the world came around his bedside. And Lord Krishna, when Yudhishthir Maharaj after the war was very despondent, and he asked, what should I do? The Lord Krishna said, come, you should come to take the instructions from Bhishma. So Bhishma Pitama instructs Yudhishthir Maharaj, the most famous instructions about every aspect of life, in the presence of Krishna, in the presence of all the great saints of the world, of this universe. They all came from various demigods and everybody were present. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, everybody were present there. Now that is again not just a matter of that, it was his day. Not like that. He lived a life. His entire life, his glory was his whole life. Every moment he was chosen. Of course, he was a pure devotee who came as an associate of the Lord. But Krishna reciprocation shows us that this is where the highest pinnacle of success, in which we should see as success, has been achieved by the Lord. So at least if we don't reach that level, we would make some progress towards that level. So we'll end here. Any questions? Hare Krishna.